Hey, everybody. Happy, happy Thursday, February 27, 2020. And it is the daily time for the daily. And Lord, I listened to myself from whatever day that was. Like, you are not motivating anybody with that sad, sleepy ass voice. So go back to sleep. Okay? Even yesterday was a little better, whatever day. But you know what? I got to get up and do what I'm doing here with you all by myself. Then I can do it, right? That's how we do it. We got to do it all by ourselves. And today we are talking about something very beautiful that I want everybody to think about all day long, all the time, every day. And please do yourself a favor. Think about this as soon as you open up your eyes in the morning, because that's when you are in that state where you're not quite with the world yet and more with your subconscious part of you that'll listen, that's open and receptive to what you're thinking and feeling at that point, first thing in the morning, and then last thing at night. You could be like your girl, run you a nice little salt bath, preferably Dead Sea Salt, very expensive. So if you run out, just go over to Walmart and get you some Dr. whoever, Tilly or whatever his name is. Okay? That, a candle, some meditation music, some 528 frequency or some 963. Okay? And chill. And then you do it then too. First thing in the morning, last thing at night. So today we're going to go over something beautiful. Now, you know I like my Neville Goddard. That was a sleepy day. Oh, wait, where are we going? Okay, here we go. But there's so many different guys, men, and all, a lot of women too, but the majority of them, of course, because in our society, right, men have got allowed to do everything. So most of these are men. It don't make a difference. Men, women, you could be the next generation to spit this beautiful knowledge. And so before we get started, I did write down everyone that listens, and I wanted, particularly on the daily, because this, you know, we are all one under the eyes of God. And I wish this, I don't know how to start doing this, giving me alerts. Oh, my God. It's Mark Zuckerberg. Somebody need to take his ass out to the woodshed. Because he's responsible for everybody getting up in our business when we don't want to get God up into. Shit. Why, where is this all of a sudden happening on Monday? Right? What the hell's going on? We need to get rid of, okay. Anyway, on the daily, we're talking about all the beautiful things in life and the beautiful people that listen, okay? So we're going to start, and I want to thank you all very, very much. And because we all share one same whole universe and God, this stuff should really relate no matter who listens. And I get people all over the place. So not only Canada and the U.S., also the lovely people of South Africa, Sierra Leone, in India and Pakistan, Spain, Portugal. You see my, you heard that, right? Because I, you know, because I'm international like that. Romania, Ukraine, my pals from Ukraine, and the Netherlands and Sweden. Okay, let's get that tree. They know I like that tree. Everybody want to go there. You ain't got to go there no more. You just got to go up the freeway. All right, so today on the daily, our topic is talk to yourself. Talk yourself into it. And it's really about talking to yourself, but talking yourself into the way that you want to see and be. And our guy, Robert A. Russell, he's another New Thought author. And the New Thought authors, again, take metaphysics and mix it with the Bible, because the Bible is not a history book. It is a psychology book, boys and girls, that they turned into a history book to get us really confused. And, you know, everything in the darkness must come to light, light, light. So we're really finding out that, oh, what? God's not coming back on a plane or just dropping out the skies? He's inside of us. Oh, my God. And so now that we know that, it's our job to oneness with him. And because all of these different places I met, these people know we're all one under the eyes of the universe and this oneness of this God that we share. And so Robert A. Russell, Talk Yourself Into It, basically he calls it the man inside, right? Because we know God lives in us. And if we connect with God, if we connect with God and we talk and we think and we connect with God at the same time, oh, my God, you are so powerful. So you want to talk to the man inside. You want to understand there is a man inside. And I'm just really upset about this Sputnik news. So you know, somebody got me. Sputnik news? Really, bro? Somebody got me. Anyway. Talk to the man inside, but you got to connect to him first. So you get in silence because God loves silence. So let's hear Robert A. Russell because he puts it down so much better than I do. And if we first start off with a story about a little girl and her desire for some bananas. So listen through the story, the concept, and this is part one of 17. So each day, we may go for the next 17 days to finish this whole deal, but today we're talking about Talk Yourself Into It, Robert A. Russell, and let's hit it.
This audio presentation of Talk Yourself Into It by Robert A. Russell is brought to you by AudioEnlightenment.com, copyright 2015, all rights reserved. Introduction, The Other Side. You are about to begin the study of the most important subject in the world, the religion of Jesus Christ in action. When you get out of it will depend in large measure upon what you put into it and whether you come to it with an open or a closed mind. If you were reared under the old forms of religion that kept you in the dark about your own possibilities and your real nature, you will have to lay aside many preconceived ideas and beliefs and permit yourself to be led by the Spirit of Truth. It is not a new religion you are studying, but the other side, the higher side of the religion you now have. Many things in this book will no doubt seem revolutionary. You must not be dismayed or discouraged, however, for Christ has many ways of bringing you to your own. Illumination may come to you suddenly as it came to Saul on the highway to Damascus, when there shined round about him a light from heaven, or it may come by the more gradual process of study and practice. In either event, remember that in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. Having heard the call, you must obey. Having felt the urge, you must take hold. Having put your hand to the plow, you must not turn back. Among the many references to children in the scripture is this: whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Anyone who has had the experience of watching a child grow in the knowledge of truth realizes that his acceptance of principle is as ready and natural as his acceptance of the power to move or breathe. The story that follows illustrates beautifully the attitude of mind needed by those who accept the responsibility of talking themselves into peace, health, and prosperity. This is the story of Carolyn, her nurse, her faith, and a bunch of bananas. The nurse is speaking. I had an experience some time ago while in Florida nursing, and I feel led to tell the simple story so that others may grasp the lesson I learned and came to realize God in a deeper sense as I did. I was in Carolyn's home for 10 days, caring for her mother and her new baby sister. My patient had many little truth books and papers which she tried to explain to me, but I was annoyed rather than pleased. Carolyn, the 8-year-old daughter, however, gave me a concrete example of all things whatsoever the Father hath are mine. I had forgotten that God has planted in the child heart the ability to have confidence in him that the adult usually loses along the path of the years. Therein lies my story. On Saturday afternoon, I was putting away groceries that had been sent from the town 4 miles away. Carolyn was helping. She asked, "Did you get any bananas? I love them." "No," I replied, "but I'll get some for you Tuesday when I order again." "I really want them today, though," she said with a smile. I followed her into the bedroom and found her on her knees, offering what I considered a very unorthodox prayer. "Dear Jesus, I know you have lots of bananas, and I know you are willing for mother, nurse, and me to have some. So please, send us half a dozen today. Thank you. Amen." Well, I was so shocked, I stood as though I turned to stone. Then at supper, Carolyn said, "Nurse, how long does today last?" "Till bedtime for you, dear," I replied. "No, I mean tomorrow doesn't start till in the night, does it?" "Oh, I see what you mean. Today lasts until 12 o'clock, I explained. "Well, I hope God sends my bananas by bedtime." But dear, it has started raining and the roads are bad now, I said. You mustn't be too disappointed if you don't get them. I was trying to prepare her, for I was sure she would not receive the fruit that day. You must not know God as I do. He won't disappoint me. He never does, she vowed. At bedtime, she made this request of me. Nurse, will you wake me when my bananas come? I assured her that I would, and she dropped off to sleep at once. At 10:45, she roused up and said sleepily, have they come? Well, no, not yet. Go back to sleep. But it's still today if you aren't here, she insisted. Yes, I said. Today is another hour and 15 minutes. I was amazed that no misgiving had entered her mind. My heart ached for her because my judgment told me that she would be sorely disturbed at God's not answering her prayer. Sometime later, I was still wide awake, troubled when I heard a car stop outside. I arose, threw my coat around me, and with a flashlight went to answer the door. There stood my patient's pastor and his wife. He said, I know it seems foolish to disturb you by coming here at this hour of the night, but after my wife and I were in bed asleep, I awoke worried with the feeling that something was wrong here. We dressed again and came to inquire. No, nothing is wrong, I told him. In that case, his wife replied, we will not even come in. Oh, by the way, I bought some nice bananas at the market and I brought some for you. I turned and looked at the clock. I lacked 7 minutes to midnight. Yes, there was something wrong, I said suddenly. A child's prayer had to be answered. You came to bring bananas, not because they were needed, but because of Carolyn's absolute confidence in God. Then I told him the story as I have told it here, and tears were in all the eyes as we considered a little child's progress into a new and vital faith life. The pastor and his wife went in with me to awaken Carolyn. She accepted the fruit without evidencing surprise, but she did say in a natural way, thank you, Jesus, before she filled her mouth with the fruit. Later, as we talked it over, she said to me solemnly, nurse, when you want anything, ask God for it. He owns everything, and he will give it to you. Through the months, the experience given to me that night has been a bright and shiny light that has led me into a deeper and sweeter trust in God. Chapter 1, Why You Must Talk to Yourself. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15:7. Talking to yourself about your own needs and the needs of others will raise your mental level, expand your consciousness, and increase your power of expression. It will raise your estimate of yourself. It will give you self-respect, self-confidence, and greater assurance of your relationship to God. In other words, you will find yourself, and finding yourself, you will find God. Finding God, you will never suffer lack or want. As you head toward your goal, new capacities and abilities will be revealed. New opportunities will be opened. You will be led in ways of pleasantness and paths of peace. You will fear no evil, being centered in God, and you're immune to evil. The reason you must talk to yourself and about others is that all treatment is self-treatment. The only thought you ever have to handle is your own. The one to be convinced is not the one suffering from evil or trouble, but the one giving the treatment. We do not try to change the circumstance, conditions, thoughts, or beliefs in other people, for we do not approve of coercion. Neither do we send thoughts to others, for we do not work through the power of suggestion. The one to whom the evil or problem has been presented works to reverse it in his own mind. If he succeeds, the treatment is successful. For there is only one mind, and what is known in one part of the mind is known in all parts at the same time. It follows, therefore, that the only effective treatment is self-treatment. The only way we can help ourselves or others is to see through the trouble to the divine idea, back of everything, and then hold our vision steady until we have convinced ourselves of the truth. That is why Emerson said, listen greatly to yourself. Listen until you can hear with your inner ear. Look until you can see with the inner eye. When you are confronted with your own or another's problems, get away where you can be quiet and alone with God. Talk to yourself until you have convinced yourself of the truth. Get the sense of God's omnipresence, then the false concept will disappear. The three steps in this process are realization, idealization, and actualization. Listen greatly to yourself. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Demonstrating through talking to yourself is a matter of spiritual projection and impregnation. It is a process of impressing certain ideas upon the inner mind substance. When this impression is made, it serves as a nucleus to which all kindred or like thoughts in the universe are attracted. When sufficient power has been generated by this cohesion, the product is manifested in experience. The character given to the inner substance by the thought determines the quality and character of the experience. That is why you must change yourself before you can change the problem, circumstance, and conditions in your life. By changing your thought, you not only increase the substance in your mind, but you also change the character of the manifestations in your life. Consequently, the more often you talk to yourself about a certain desire or intention, the more substantial it will become. When the Christ mind is called into action in your mind through contemplation and realization, your words lay hold of divine substance by the law of attraction and mold it to your order. Start your conversations with your divine inner self today, pressing your claims on the universal substance so that you can draw from it what you need. Begin by finding a quiet place where you can be alone with God and realize His presence in your soul. When you are thoroughly relaxed, when your consciousness has been cleansed of all error and your mind dredged of all negative and limited thoughts, close your eyes and imagine that you see your greater self standing before you. Focus your thought upon Him and say with deep conviction, George or Mary or whatever your name is, you realize that God is everywhere evenly present. You know that He is at this moment filling you with His perfect life, strength, health, peace, power, and wholeness. Made in His image and likeness, you cannot harbor discord, doubt, trouble, or confusion. You express His harmony, serenity, and poise. You are masters of your thought, your passions, your appetites, your temper, your emotion, and of yourself. Guided by His wisdom, you see all things clearly, judge all things wisely, and understand all things truly. Because you are unified with the infinite force of the universe, only the perfect mind of God can operate in and through you. The power of the living word. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Luke 7:7. Why is it that one person heals and demonstrates through his spoken word, while another does not? Success does not depend upon the person of the successful healer, nor upon his choice of words. It lies wholly in the thought, force, and meaning that the healer puts into the word. Some persons are naturally conscious of the inner spirit of their words. Others must become to it. This understanding is a prerequisite in metaphysical work, for no word is more effective or more powerful than the spirit or force that the speaker puts into it. The word of God is instant and powerful and as always works. When the inner spirit is fully awakened and becomes alive in our thoughts and words, there is no disease that cannot be healed, no weakness or fault that cannot be overcome, no ambition that cannot be realized, no desire that cannot be fulfilled, and no adverse condition that cannot be met. Without this awakening of spirit, our words have little or no power. The word without the spirit is dead. It is the spirit that quickeneth. It is the spirit that gives life, that heals, cleanses, strengthens, empowers, illumines, guides, and directs. We put power in our words by thinking into them what we wish to take out of them. How shall we do that? By mentally pitching the perfect condition we wish to embody and by giving depth of feeling, life, and spirit to our every thought and word. We must register our thought upon the subconscious mind with such intensity, conviction, and determination that each word becomes a power. Then the saying, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, is fulfilled. Words are made flesh or established as a reality because we give them power through our acceptance, recognition, and realization. It makes no difference how old the claim or how long-standing the disease. The living word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It will accomplish that which it was sent out to do. Giving power to your words. My words are spirit and they are life, and they shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that whereunto they are sent. To awaken the hidden power in words, we must not only register them with great vigor, determination, and feeling, but we must also put character and meaning into them. We must think into them what we wish to take out of them. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning of everything in the Word, words have put us where we are, and words will take us where we want to go. He sent His Word and healed them. His Word has achieved everything that has been achieved. By thy words shalt thou be justified, and by thy words shalt thou be condemned. Words in themselves are merely vehicles of expression for our thoughts, emotions, and desires, but they exert a power that no man has ever been able to measure. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. When we have this understanding of the power of the word, we shall put all our faith into it. We shall understand why the Bible places so much emphasis on the power of the word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We can choose a word and think into it whatever we wish. We can think health into it, think prosperity into it, think peace into it, think success into it. It will create a corresponding condition in us or in one for whom it was spoken. In metaphysics, this process is called reciprocal action. It is what happens between two pianos in a room. When a chord is struck on one piano, the other piano responds with the same chord, even though there is no player to strike the chord. How shall we make our words more dynamic? How can we bring out the conditions if we wish to produce in ourselves or in others? There are four things we can do. One, harmonize our mind with God's mind so that he can speak through us. Two, think the right thoughts, affirm what we know to be. Three, give meaning to the word by holding the right attitude. Four, give power or spirit to the word by deep feeling, by intense concentration and realization, and by positive conviction of the truth we speak. Talking to the inner man, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we understand our relationship to the man inside and his relationship to us, we can talk to him as we would talk to another person. We can not only talk to him, but we can get a definite answer. Before ye call, I will answer, and while ye are yet speaking, I will hear, is the promise. We are constantly making demands upon this inner self in a haphazard, thoughtless fashion. Think, then, what can be accomplished by consciously and audibly addressing this inner self through well-planned and carefully chosen man-to-man and heart-to-heart talks. The possibility of changing our circumstance and conditions through such means is practically unlimited. In fact, there is no disease or illness that cannot be healed, no hope that cannot be realized, no desire that cannot be fulfilled, no obstacle that cannot be removed, and no need that cannot be met. No problem that cannot be solved, no lack that cannot be supplied, no weakness that cannot be overcome, no difficulty that cannot be surmounted when the inner and outer selves are integrated. Who is this man inside? To Jesus, he was the Father within. To St. Paul, he was the power that worketh in you. To the Church, he is the only begotten Son. To the Scriptures, he is the Christ of Jesus, or the I Am of God. To the psychologist, he is a subconscious mind. To the metaphysician, he is mind, idea, and expression. But it really makes no difference what we call this other self. The important thing is that he is inherently and potentially the common property of us all. With him, we can do all things. Without him, we can do nothing. Each of us can say with Paul, in him I live and move and have my being. It is greatly to our advantage to be on speaking terms with the man inside and to cooperate with him, for in him lies all dominion and power. All things whatsoever the Father hath have been given into his hands. He is the steward of the divine mind, the channel through which God's blessings flow into manifestation, the source of our health, supply, peace, and happiness. Behind him lies the inexhaustible power of God, the answer to every prayer and the fulfillment of every need.
Wow. Okay. So how awesome is that? That's chapter one of Talk Yourself Into It by Robert A. Russell. Feel free to move forward and find it on the Googles. And we're going to discuss a little bit of it all the time. I talk to myself all the time, and I recommend to you look in the mirror, right? Mirror work, where you just talk to God and talk to the man inside. And the thing about it, and I'll keep saying it, like if anybody watched The Secret, right? Feeling is the secret. So you talk to yourself, you get that oneness with God first, right? Get quiet, breathe right, concentrate on your heart. That's your inner soul. Concentrate in the heart area. And what I do is I'll look up, and if you look up, you'll naturally start to see like white clouds. Well, they like to say that's the white light of God. You know, you're communicating on the same frequency as the universe or whatever. You know, my swirl around or whatever. You know, but that you get in a delta state. I think when you look up, you're automatically, your brain waves go into this state where it's more open. Okay, look it up. It's not crazy talk. Look it up, bro. So we do that, we get our oneness with God, we feel, and I always feel gratitude because I look over my life and it's like, oh my God, I've had so many angels watching over me. And so I think about all of the things, just the last couple of months, oh my God. And still things I need to do that, you know, just everything. Just the last 10 years, oh my, just being grateful. Everybody has something to be grateful for in every country. But as Mr. Russell's story, and the guy that reads it, right, he has an awesome voice. I could listen. I did when I was homeless, right? I listened to him all the time, Audio Enlightenment. It's not the same. You can get the stuff for free now like we are. So that was 10 years ago. but in every country that I mentioned, you know, we all are going through something, but we all share the same capability of getting quiet and getting our connection with God and talking to ourselves. And everybody, you know, we know about the Bible, read the Bible, but kind of read it in, you know, kind of when you're reading it now and you're listening to this stuff, kind of put it in a different perspective. It helps you to do that. So no matter where we are, we're all suffering, everybody. And the more we can put positive energy out into the world, like I say, you don't have to call people and change them. You know, you change yourself and it automatically changes them and the world. So put positive energy out just on your own. It'll eventually reach, but if enough of us do it. Now, I used to hear that a couple years ago, oh, we're all going to just be positive for this amount of time on this day. Now I understand what the deal is. It's just about putting out the energy. Not that anybody's going to pick it up, just like these recordings. No, they may listen, they may not. The whole point is me putting out the positive energy. I'm putting it out in the world, whether somebody's picking it up or not. That's not the point. That's the vain point. Oh, somebody looking at me, somebody listening. That's not the point. I'm glad I figured that out. The point is for me or you as a human spirit to put out the positive energy into the world. If enough of us do it, we'll change all of this craziness. It's going crazy enough to know that it's going crazy, so crazy like this, because that forces good people, which most of us are, to say, we got to do something different. There's got to be a different way, because I don't have no control over what's going on out there, but I can definitely control what's going on inside of me. And really, those two things are related. And we don't know how to fix ourselves inside, so outside is just crazy. So enough of us get to fixing ourselves inside, we'll slowly see the outside coming together. So that's the daily. And you know that I love you. We'll meet tonight, maybe, if I feel like doing that. We're going to talk about prejudice. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. Because you know what? We're all dealing with that, too. But this is how we take care of that. We so good. It's the daily. You know I love you. This is your girl, Stacy Johnson. And we'll meet again soon. Okay, listen to this music. This is your meditation music as we go off into today. I think my boy.